How you doing, everybody? Welcome into Sports Talk in the final week of 2017. Scott Beatty here alongside legendary Lauren Tate. And Lauren, I hope you had a good Christmas.
Had a great Christmas.
You have thawed out as well from coming in.
Stayed inside.
Oh. Well, glad you had a great Christmas. Did you get to see the people you wanted to see?
Yeah, we had 15. 15 there for late lunch.
Ate well?
Yeah, always good.
Spoiled people with all the generosity you have. Good to see you, my friend, and welcome into you listening. You can call us if you want to join in, 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Because of the holiday, Lauren, you did not have a Monday morning quarterback, so if anyone wants to do some quarterbacking on the Illinois victory over Mizzou on Saturday night, you're welcome to do so. 70-64, the final. They've won five in a row on that. And more on that in a moment. But the other big news item of the day is it's now official. It was first reported 3 days ago that Lovie Smith has fired Garrick McGee and Paul Williams, offensive coordinator and defensive backs coach, respectively. That was made official today, or announced officially, I should say, today. And the search is underway for a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm sure that he's done an awful lot of work on that already, because this is something that's been in the works for at least a month that I know of. And I think that probably we'll hear pretty soon who the new coaches are going to be.
Yeah, you don't really want to sit on it, because you have another pretty intense recruiting period here between now and the February signing period, even though the bulk of your guys are in already. But they're going after some guys that I think you would want players to know who's going to be coaching them and those things. There's a number of names that go around, and I got to be honest, I'm just, you know, offensive coordinators or guys that could become offensive coordinators, I don't think are as, they're not at the tip of my tongue.
Well, it'll be hard to move a top offensive coordinator off of a major school right now, because Illinois is down. I mean, and you could, if you don't do better next year, you could really dig a hole for yourself as far as your future's concerned.
There are two names that I'm hearing thrown around as discussion points, but not necessarily as people that are going to take the job. I have no information on this. But the first one is Ron Turner, and there's a lot of reasons why that would make sense, given the connection that Ron Turner was Lovie's offensive coordinator with the Bears, including the season they went to the Super Bowl. He coached here, and one of the best runs in recent history for an Illinois football coach. He coached Josh Whitman. There's a lot of things at work in terms of the connection with Ron Turner. Now, what Ron Turner is interested in doing at this point in his life, I don't know.
He's nearing retirement, but this would be an attraction for him. I think if you put it to him and offered him the job, I think he would take it.
And maybe, because the other name that you hear thrown around, and I think it's too soon for a guy like him, but Nathan Shielhouse, is some people have put that out there. I think he's just a little too green to jump into a D1 offensive coordinator position.
Well, they thought he was too green to be on the staff. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, he lost his – he was on the staff at one time, and Lovie retained him, but not on the field.
Yeah, so that's why I don't think that's a realistic choice. Those are two immediate sort of Illinois connections that come to
Bill
mind.
Get Bill Kubit back.
Yeah, I mean, heck of a guy.
He's a good guy, but
I don't know.
No chance there. One name that's thrown out because he's not doing anything right now is Kevin Sumlin, but he's not going to make that step down. I think he'll be probably sit out this year and look for a head job next year, and maybe you'd be taking a the other thing is that when you're receiving money from a school who has fired you, you'd probably be working for nothing in a sense, because you wouldn't get it. You'd have to pay back the school the amount of money you make at the next school, probably. And I haven't seen his contract, so I'm not necessarily accurate on that, but that's the way most of the contracts are. Once you get a job, you got to pay back.
You got ideas, you got names you think would fit, let us know. 356-9397 is the number to call. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Let's get you some of the other headlines from today. I know it was one that you were really interested in, Lauren, the heart of Dallas, Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. That went to West Virginia. They beat Utah 30-14. 58-yard run for a touchdown from Zach Moss in that victory for the Mountaineers.
Well, they're a good, tough football team.
Sure.
In a good, tough league. And You know, and you. By the way, Utah's gotten better.
Yep.
But not quite good enough today.
The Quick Lane Bowl going on right now. Northern Illinois against Duke, and it's all tied up at 14 apiece in the second quarter. So they've got some good offense going there. Tonight, Kansas takes on UCLA in the Cactus Bowl. NFL news, John Fox, head coach of the Bears, says he's not worried about his future right now. Says he's always had employment in the NFL. He's not worried about it. Last game for him with the Bears this season, at least. He's on Sunday against Minnesota. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says Jason Garrett will return for his eighth full season.
By the way, if you were to wait to hire an offensive coordinator, there will be some jobs open when this football season, when this season ends, and Fox's staff might be among them.
Yeah. And
who knows if he'll survive this?
And what about guys that worked with Lovie in Tampa? There's some of those names have been thrown out around there, running backs coach and a quarterbacks coach and all those kinds of people. I think one of the things is, what does Lovie want in an offensive coordinator? What does he need in an offensive coordinator?
Well, that raises a really good question, because when I mentioned to Bob Asmus, and we talked about Ron Turner several weeks ago, and Ron has been a California, a West Coast style offense, mostly drop back passers, and clearly Lovie is headed in the other direction in terms of, I mean, what McGee was doing. They want a running quarterback. We've had, Wes Lunt was gone, they still have George, but that's not the way they seemingly want to go. Therefore, would he be the right guy? On the other hand, if Cam Thomas is your quarterback, nothing that he needs more than to to look downfield for him. We know he can run.
Yeah.
And I imagine Ron can put in an offense that would allow him to run. At the same time, there's very few people any better than helping him learn the downfield passing game.
Some have said that Garrick McGee was just dealt a bad hand in terms of the talent.
Well, of course he was. I mean, and part of it he dealt himself. He decided to go with those young guys this year. That's okay. I'm not saying he did the wrong thing, but you might have been a little better had you stayed with some veteran players as opposed to go with all the young ones, because they were in the process of learning.
Well,
in the offensive line.
Yeah, especially. I've been thinking about guys like Gabe Magnuson, Christian DeLauro. I mean, I know they had some injuries in there, but they really, towards the end of the season, said, we're done with the veterans. We're going all freshmen. The same with, I mean, think
well,
of
he went
like,
back to DeLauro the last three or four games.
That's right.
And he started him at tackle, which he should have, because he was clearly better.
Yeah. I think about Kendrick Foster. And I'm not saying
you
Kendrick
went away from him.
Yeah. I'm not saying I know better who, I mean, we're not in practice, right? But Kendrick Foster was supposed to have a really strong year, and all of a sudden was just nowhere to be found until they had to go back to him because of injury. And then at the end, they didn't use him either. They were going to Dre Brown.
I think they wanted to find out if Dre Brown could play, and they found out Dre made some nice kickoff returns in that final game. Didn't have much room to run, but they wanted to go with Epstein. Epstein definitely was the star of fall practice. So had he not been injured, I think they would have stayed with him. But he went with Dorsey at tight end. He had receivers. He had Smalling out there. This was a really, really young offensive unit. And you can say whatever you want to about McGee, about maybe he had some shortcomings here, shortcomings there. No one could have coached that team successful as you want them to be. They were just too young.
Absolutely. So I wonder, is it fair? Because you can't isolate everything.
Football's not fair. There's nothing fair.
You're right.
It's not fair, but he's,
if you have more talent and if you have more pieces in place, does that help you make better choices with play calling? I mean, people were upset with the play calling.
Of course you are. Everybody's upset with play calling when your team's not as good as the other team.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody that's happy with their play calling when they got the worst team?
Well, and you can look at it when you lose. Obviously, it didn't work. You should have done something different. But what else could you have done?
They didn't have any options. They took I think McGee took the best option he could, and he went young. Whether that's going to work is a whole other question. But it wasn't going to work the other way either.
Why is that solely a coordinator's decision?
Oh, I think so. I think that he would in discussion with Levia, but I'm sure they made a command decision to go after about the third game once Lowe became healthy. They made a decision to go with two freshman tackles, which right there tells you you got no chance. I mean, and then you go with a freshman at the right guard and a freshman center and a freshman tight end and a freshman running back and a freshman quarterback. I mean, come on.
Let's go to...
This is like JV a few years ago when we had a JV team. That's what this was.
And that's not to say they won't be good offensive linemen, but you just at the freshman level. Let's go to the phones. Bill is checking in from Tolono. Hey, happy holidays, Bill.
Thank you. I don't know either I've got the score wrong or you guys got the score wrong, but what I see is Utah beat West Virginia on the scoreboard.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. You're right. Utah won. I just flat out flipped it around in my head, and I misspoke.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
You got any thoughts on who the offensive coordinator should be? I think we lost him.
He doesn't.
Okay.
That's up to us, I guess. Okay, for the record, Utah beat West Virginia 30-14. I still have Christmas cookies rattling around in my head, so I think that's what happened.
Well, I didn't watch the game, so I didn't know. I didn't even check up on it.
Yeah, see, it's 14-14 between Duke and Northern Illinois, so I can't get that wrong about who's
winning.
Yeah, exactly. Kansas State and UCLA tonight in the Cactus Bowl. All right, if you do have thoughts on Illinois' coaching search for an offensive coordinator or anything else, get back to Illinois basketball as well on the other side of this. A Tuesday edition of Sports Talk, Scott and Lauren.
Hi, this is Jim Bohannon. Join us for the next Bohannon Show with the top stories of the day, some fun stuff from sports or entertainment, you name it, right here, tonight at 9 on BWS.
Illinois up 36-22 with 1:08 to go here in the first half. Out top with it is Frazier. Here on the court at Scott Trade Center. Dribbles to the left wing. Frazier backs away on the dribble, guarded by Barnett. Now pulls up for three. Got it. Oh, Trent Frazier with a three. Wow, is that a confident young man?
Oh, the coaching staff, man. They continue to put confidence in me. Last game, you know, I didn't hit that tie game shot. And free throws, I missed those too. But Coach Underwood, man, he keeps pressing to me that he believes in me and I can make the shot. So he put the ball in my hands down the stretch, and I made plays.
You heard a highlight there from Saturday night in the Bragging Rights game from Trent Frazier, scored 22 points, and he talked there post-game as well. Trent Frazier today named Big Ten Freshman of the Week by the conference for that performance. Illinois won their fifth in a row over Mizzou in the Bragging Rights game, and you know what? That was a big win. It just was a big win for Illinois because there was so much emotion behind that ball game, Lauren.
Absolutely. And they played that first half. They took the game right away from Missouri with their defense. If I was going to say a player of the game, I'd say it was the defense because those 16 turnovers. Now, look, Frazier played really well. Took a lot of shots, but he made most of his free throws. Hit 10 out of 11, which is good, and hit the last four. And he needed those after Lucas missed his two. So, you know, you got to make free throws. It's a different ball game in that last minute. You still have to make points.
How much did you see Illinois' defense affecting Missouri, and how much was Missouri just not playing well? Because they look rattled to me.
Always a combination. It's a perfect combination. You had a weak guard. They've had a point guard problem. I heard one person say they've used four different people at point guard. Obviously, they aren't happy with it, and Illinois took advantage of it. If Missouri had had the ability to get the ball into their big people, Illinois would have been in trouble, and they couldn't get it in there. I mean, it was a terrific job of overplaying defense. Now, they overplayed in that first half and succeeded. They overplayed, continued to overplay in the second half, got into foul trouble, and got in real trouble in that game. If Missouri hit some of those threes, they were 5 out of 27. That's terrible. I don't know how many games or how many few games there are that if you can't look at the three-point shooting and determine who won. I mean, Illinois hit 6 out of 14. They hit 5 out of 27. That's 22 balls that just went flying off the rim.
Well, if you're sitting in Jeff City or Columbia right now or Jeff City or wherever in Missouri for that matter, I don't know that you're looking at it and going, well, Illinois, just boy, they're just too tough. They really beat us. I think they're saying more of what you just said. We didn't shoot well. We didn't play our best. We let the moment get to us.
They had some wide open threes in that second half that didn't go down. Why? There was nobody on them. It's just, they had the shots, but Illinois had a 20-point lead. It's hard to come back from all that. Illinois only made 6 field goals the whole second half. But they made enough free throws to squeak the game out. I may say squeak it out. They won it soundly. It was 6 points.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I feel like they would have lost if the game was longer.
Well, it was going the wrong directions, but they got in so much foul. I think at the 4-minute timeout, they were already had 7 fouls, or 6 fouls at least. They were on. Missouri was ready to go on the 1-on-1 from that point on.
Yeah, 4 minutes into the second half.
Yeah.
But I still felt the game was better officiated than some of the other games we've seen. I felt like there was more ability to just let the players play. And it's hard for me to gauge the quality of foul calling from a TV monitor versus when you're in up close. But it seems there's been some games where it's just like the game has no rhythm and the officials are slowing everything down. That game seemed to had a little more flow to it, especially in the first half, and it favored Illinois because of their aggressive defense.
This is the thing that Underwood has been pushing and persisting in since the beginning of the practice, is that he wants to overguard and not allow passes to the wing. And when you overplay the wing, you heard what I believe it was Chris Collins said, we won the game, but we couldn't run our offense. We just you have to do whatever you have to do. You have to take advantage of any opportunities you have, but you can't run a set offense when teams are overplaying. You can't make the initial pass in. And they didn't allow many passes to the post at all. Illinois didn't.
Many are noted in the poetic justice of Jeremiah Tillman getting the first touch and the first points of the game from Mizzou's only lead.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Illinois led the rest of the way.
But boy, could Illinois use Jeremiah Tillman.
Can you imagine how scary good this team would be if he was here in the front court?
Oh, man.
You have him and LaRon Black with the way LaRon Black, I felt for most of the game, was the player of the game until Frazier took over at the end.
Yeah. Well, Black carried us all the way through the game. He hit a couple big threes. Those are really important.
Those were daggers.
And he's playing pretty steady.
Yeah.
And he didn't get in foul trouble.
He's got that touch from 8 to 10 feet right now going. And without him right now, I don't think Illinois would have, no matter how good the guards will play, without LaRon Black, his team would be lost.
Yeah, you got to have him.
So Grand Canyon comes in on Saturday, final non-conference game. That's a game Illinois should win. I wouldn't be surprised if Grand Canyon gives them a competitive game. But they're not ready to be at a high level yet. They may get there with the way Jerry Colangelo and Dan Marley have this thing going. But right now, Illinois should beat them at home.
Big Ten's just around the corner. What do you think's going to happen? Only 2 teams ranked in the top 25 in the Big Ten. Missouri's out of there now.
I was reading ESPN's breakdown. I mean, it's
Michigan State's way up on top, and then Purdue's hanging in the middle, and then there's nobody else.
It's a race for number 3 in the Big Ten.
In fact, I counted down 30-some schools before I got to the 3rd Big Ten school.
Yeah, and who will that be? Well, your first thought at the beginning of the year was Maryland. They can't seem to hang on to the ball very well.
Well, I thought Minnesota was going to be good, but something's happened to the point guard now. He's hurt.
Yeah, Mason. And
Mason.
Right?
Yeah,
he's day to day.
Yeah, I guess it's not long term serious, but we play them coming up. Just wonder if he'll be ready. I guess he will.
Week from tomorrow, and that's. I wanted to say the beginning of Big Ten play. Forget it's not the beginning of Big Ten play. There's
second
already 2
beginning.
In the books. Yes. Yeah, the sequel. I mean, I guess for Illinois' sake, you hope he's day-to-day until Thursday next week instead of Wednesday.
Another big job for Michael Finke.
Yeah. And then you go on the road.
He's going to have to hold down these big horses in the middle, because just like he did against Missouri. That was a pretty good performance by Finke.
Yeah, you know what? Somebody texted in about that post game that he was probably the unsung hero of the
game. He was. He held down. They didn't get many inside baskets.
He shot well, but more important was his defense. And
yeah, He worked at it. They were all, Illinois, the whole team was working at it. It was a five-man operation. It was really good defense.
And that's where this team can be successful under Underwood's system. Yep. Same reason Stephen F. Austin was so good into the tournament, why they could make a run.
Yeah.
Same reason why he could get Oklahoma State turned around. He switched up the defense, got them to play a different defense last year, and found themselves in the tournament.
By the way, the New Mexico State loss isn't looking so bad anymore.
That's
upset,
right.
They upset gave Miami their first loss, and then now they led Southern Cal most of that game. They lost.
You are now a New Mexico State fan for the rest of the year. You're a Mizzou fan again for the rest of the year.
I've been a New Mexico State fan ever since Lou came from there. You know that.
Indeed.
I've seen some games down there.
Yeah. By the way, just wish he would have been able to make his tribute up there. Hope he's doing well. We heard he was out of the hospital.
Yeah, he was home watching the game yesterday, and the problem was that the satellite dish got some freezing on it, and he couldn't get his signal. They had to go out and wipe it off, and he was worried he wasn't going to get to see the New Mexico State game against Southern Cal, but they got it fixed.
I wanted to bring up to you the top stories of the year for Illinois. Your take on some of these, what you think they are, and I know you already kind of considered some of these on your podcast, but I wanted to bounce these off you. So let's take a look at that when we come back.
Okay.
Sports Talk here on this Tuesday. Join us if you like, 356-9397. Text at 351-5357.
Join me, Dave Ramsey, tonight on News Talk 1400 DWS.
We've dipped down to three degrees.
Oh, no.
3 degrees. I hope that's not the number of people listening. I think that thing is the temperature, not number of people listening right now. I know there's not a lot of folks gone right now, but we're glad you are with us. Maybe you're out enjoying the post-Christmas shopping, whatever's available, and you're going out and spending some gift cards or what have you, or going out to have a good time. Maybe you don't have to go to work. Appreciate you being along. You can join us, 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. All right, Lauren, I came up with my own list here.
Okay, shoot them at me.
Top 10 Illinois stories, Illini stories from 2017. And you know how these are. So I didn't tell you these because I wanted to see if you agreed or disagreed.
Can't wait.
Or how you would look at it. Number 10. The Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, we're going from backwards.
Oh,
to forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
The drama here. Number 10, I would go with Hall of Fame. And the reason I put it in there, but at the end, because there wasn't much doubt about it.
It was a wonderful event in Chicago.
Yeah.
The event in Chicago was the way it was, just the way it was presented. It was just a first class, top drawer event. Tremendous.
But the induction ceremony here and Dick Butkus' speech here was one for the ages.
It was very good, but I'm telling you, there was something about that thing in Chicago. You had to be there to understand. White tie and tux and all that stuff.
That made the...
Black tie, rather.
Yeah, that made the event here a little anticlimactic.
I thought so.
I understand.
I'm not saying they did it wrong, but yeah. The one up there was it brought a lot of people in I hadn't seen for a long time, and we actually had more members of the group were there too.
Could they do that kind of thing here? I mean, the setting in that Field Museum was just extraordinary. All the pictures and the way they had it all dressed up and everything. But they did it in Chicago, essentially.
Yeah.
Could they get that here? There's something about a big city feel and that kind of...
Yeah, well, I don't think that if you're talking about the next one, I don't think the second or third group that goes in will ever be the same as the first group that goes in.
Yeah.
So I think they did it right, although there were people that complained we should have had the first one here, but I thought there were reasons why they did it, and there's always that money behind it, you know. You get people feeling good about the university up there, and there's a lot of donors up there.
Yeah. Okay, number 9, and I'm thinking, I think my primary criteria here was impact, and just, so number 9, the new soccer facility that was announced just a few weeks ago, and the new soccer and track and field, and I just thought it was important and significant because those facilities, the non-rev facilities in general, are way behind, and they got to get that stuff moving. to some people that could care less from a fan standpoint about soccer and track and field, but it's really important for the for these
programs. Glad they have it, but you can't convince me that building a soccer stadium, I mean a track stadium for one event a year in the cold when they send half their players off to run someplace else, I just don't agree with you. I just think it's, I don't want to say it's a waste. When somebody gives you $7 million, you take it. But it's going to cost $18 million roughly, and soccer is still a foreign sport to me. And so I guess I wouldn't agree with that.
Number eight, volleyball makes the Sweet 16. I thought that was important because they hadn't been back there to that far in a while. And Chris Thomas's first year, I thought it was a neat moment for
They did a great job winning those three in a row in the fifth set and finished on a strong note and got within 1 point of a fourth straight game in the fifth set.
Yeah. Number six and seven, I haven't decided. I may want to interchange it, but I'm going to put number seven as the hockey study.
Okay.
Because it's generated some buzz. And if it goes through, because not only is it generated buzz, it's generated possible plans for developments and competing plans for developments. So this has economic impact as well as fan impact and Illinois image impact all around. I think they want it to happen.
Oh, they definitely want it to happen. They just need $100
million. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any hesitation to have it.
Oh, no. I mean, just today I talked to someone that I trust, and he said, I think we'll have it. I said, where's the money coming from? He said, I don't have any idea. Maybe the NHL. I mean, maybe the Blackhawks will make a contribution. I don't know where that amount of money comes, but that's a huge amount.
I would think there's going to be somebody that would come up with it.
Somebody came up with it at Penn State, but I don't know. There hadn't been hockey here, you know, since way back in the Ray Elliott era when they had varsity hockey, and I don't know if they can pull it off.
Number six, then, I'm going with the new football practice facility announcement and moving earth on that finally. That is supposed to have a big impact on the field and your ability to recruit and your image and all that, too. So I think that's pretty significant that that's finally happening.
Okay.
You don't agree.
Everything you bring up is we're pouring more money into this, pouring more money into that. Okay. I mean, I think, is that really what's going to do it?
Well, I don't think it's very exciting from a fan standpoint. It's not something you get to utilize. It's not something you get to go into. It's
okay,
not something.
What's your, why are you making that judgment then?
Because I think it increases your ability to compete.
Okay.
Should it?
I think allegedly they think it does. I mean, I don't think it probably does, but they think it does, so that's all that matters.
Well, I guess if kids aren't going to come because there's not the fanciest stuff around, I don't know.
As long as you're dealing with monopoly money and you just got $50 million coming in from doing nothing other than have the games televised, I think that's terrific. You know, spend it any way you want. Throw it out there. Everybody else is doing it, and if they're going to go crazy, we might as well go crazy with them.
My number five story, women's basketball's new hire. It's just as significant. They're trying to find a program, try to get that program turned around. And I go with, obviously in tandem, the dismissal of Matt Mollant. They go hand in hand. One goes in with the other. So that's my fifth most important story of the year. Number four, the hiring of Chris Thomas at volleyball.
You realize you're down to four, and there's only one sport that anybody cares around about here is basketball.
Yep.
And you haven't touched it.
What was
number 10? I forgot.
Oh, the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so I didn't write that down. Okay, you got to get around to basketball pretty soon because more people care that are listening right now care about basketball than all these others put together.
Agreed. But I thought volleyball was an important hire because that's probably the most popular sport behind football and basketball. Number three, most important story of the year, I had the war chant because that and the removal of it. And wherever you settle on it, everybody was talking about it.
You absolutely. Why? Because they thought it was going to affect the 3-1. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it and three, it opened up an old wound.
The war chant had just been dropped and nobody said anything, that, you know, the drummers kept quiet and you didn't even know that it wasn't there. But if you stop the 3-1, you would have an uproar. And that's why people were concerned about the war chant, my opinion.
Number two, here you go, Lauren.
All right.
I lumped these all together.
All right.
You could probably parcel each of these out and make these all part of your top five or top ten. But I just went with the big basketball recruiting. Jeremiah Tillman decommitting, Mark Smith committing, and Io DeSumo committing. Mm-hmm. And I, to a lesser extent, because it's sort of in the past now, you know, the other recruiting, you know, Talen Horton Tucker not going with Illinois. But I thought those other three are the bigger stories in the end, mm-hmm. the lasting stories.
Yeah.
Tillman decommitting was just rattling.
And then I know what your number one is.
Well, yeah, that's obviously that's Brad Underwood's hire. Yeah. And, John, and subs, you know, of course, in tandem with John Gross's firing. In a way, you could just say John Gross's firing was the bigger story because you don't get Brad Underwood without it. And when they fired John Gross, you didn't know Brad Underwood was coming. I asked the question, what if Oklahoma State beat Michigan?
They'd still be playing.
Do you have Michigan to thank for Brad Underwood here?
Yeah, that's true.
So well, you agree with number one, don't you?
Do I think it was the biggest thing at the time? I think that hiring any basketball coach would be the biggest story in Champaign regardless. And I'm really high on Underwood, and I think that he makes it even better. But if you're asking me at the moment, did anybody really know who Underwood was? Tell me, truthfully.
Lou Henson knew. I had to go, who? That guy. Yeah, the Stephen F. Austin guy.
What do you think our fans did?
Somewhere in the know. And I run into fans that know more than me every day. But,
well, yeah.
But I probably the majority didn't, but then went, oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, I know. But he wasn't the household name that
no.
you were probably first thinking about. You no. probably were thinking, who, Archie Miller or
yeah.
or
that's right.
who's in Arizona, his brother, Sean Miller.
Miller.
That was probably a long shot. Mm-hmm. You know, so those kinds of people that you were hoping for. But certainly the biggest impact. So I'm just trying to think of what were the most significant stories, what were the things people were talking about the most this year, some other things I just thought were significant this year, and you could put them in if you want, starting with offensive coordinator Garrick McGee getting fired. That has some significance that could affect the future of Illinois' performance on the field. Mm-hmm. Illinois softball repeated in the going to the tournament,
right.
back-to-back regional appearances. Isaiah Martinez lost in the championship in a bid for a three-peat.
Yeah.
I thought men's basketball beating Mizzou this weekend ago. It's kind of fresh, but that's a pretty significant moment.
Which is the biggest win in basketball? The 2017 win over Michigan State with the great players on that team that put Illinois in a position to be in the NCAA until they lost to Rutgers. But I'm just saying, as of that date, when Illinois beat Michigan State, was that a bigger win? Here, 73-70, great win. Was that bigger than what we just did Saturday?
At the time, it was bigger.
Okay.
Because
it was a Big Ten game, and it had us in the NCAA. Got us at least up high on the bubble.
And kept John Gross as head coach.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the decision had been made then.
Oh, no, it hadn't. He was still the coach at that time.
Yeah, I think Josh was on record saying that it was after the Rutgers loss when he – was it then when he started to have his doubts or changed his mind?
I don't know. I think he was studying it all along.
Oh, sure. Any AD is.
It was a gamble situation when you fire a coach because at that time he didn't know who he was going to get.
If Illinois had beat Maryland this fall or December.
It would have been a big one.
I think that would have been almost bigger than the Mizzou win. The Mizzou win's nice emotionally,
mm-hmm.
but a Big Ten win is bigger. And I think that win over Michigan State, even though they had a down year, was huge. It was a fun game to watch.
A down year. I mean, they were pretty good.
Well, I meant by comparison to.
Yeah, by comparison to this year.
Yeah, yeah, or just to how, you know.
Those are the same players, by the way, that are number two in the nation right now.
Yeah. Smaller stories, but I thought just some memorable stories from this year. We lost Tony Clements,
mm-hmm.
and his scope is beyond just sports. But he was so intertwined with Illinois sports.
Yeah.
And then Lou having the Lou Henson Classic, and he didn't get to go, but just the celebration of him here in the last month, and having a game between two former schools and all that stuff. So those are some of my top stories of the year. Now, you think I missed something?
I'm trying to think. I think that you hit everything. See, what I'm was working on are the top games.
On the field moments.
Yeah, on the field, as opposed to the Hall of Fame and the hockey buzz and the hires. Although the hires are important, I mean they're bigger than games actually. But I think you're underrating. If you're underrating anything, I think you're underrating the firing of our offensive coordinator, because he is, after all, the head coach of half of the team and the most important half that, as far as people are concerned. Offense, defense, well, you could say one-third. You got special teams too. But basically, the offensive coordinator is in charge of half the team.
I forgot men's golf. You know, think about men's
huge.
Golf into the
The thing up at Sugar Grove was tremendous.
Yeah. And the opportunity for them to do that this close to campus, again, probably won't happen for a long time.
Tremendous crowd up there.
Yeah.
People shouting ILL all over the place, and large numbers following the players around, and went to beat Southern Cal in this quarterfinal, and then to get in the semi with Oklahoma, and couldn't quite handle them.
So I thought, is this time of year when we make our lists, and you may completely disagree, and that's fine. I just thought it was fun to think about what were the top stories just for Illinois sports this year. There's a lot of other great area stories with high schools and Parkland and other things too. All right, back to wrap it up after this.
Hi, this is Jim Bohannon. Join us for the next Bohannon Show with the top stories of the day. Some fun stuff from sports or entertainment, you name it, right here. Tonight at 9 on DWS.
Halftime in the Quick Lane Bowl, and Duke leads Northern Illinois now 26-14. 12 unanswered there for the Blue Devils up in Detroit. Earlier today, Utah beat West Virginia 30-14 in the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. Cactus Bowl tonight, Kansas State against UCLA. Scott Beatty and Lauren Tate here with you. What are you going to be watching this week?
Well, I was hoping to get over to the Big Dipper event and see Ayo Dosunmu, who has had consecutive games of 51, 60, and 37.
That's all?
50, I mean, that's a lot. That's a pretty good average. Last three games, and he's playing up, I think it's one of the rich schools, but I can't get there until Thursday, but I am planning on going up Thursday.
It just builds more excitement for him coming
here.
Oh,
man, listen, that guy can get to the basket.
Do you think he's a one and done?
I better not answer that. I haven't seen him play, but there's some question about his outshooting ability. But he hit 9 threes the other day. But you know, when you ask that, I first thing I think of is Frank Williams. You say, well, Frank was here several years, at least 2 years or three. I don't remember. Was he ineligible the first year? I can't remember. But anyway, Frank could get in streaks where he could make everything, and then it would be other streaks. And I don't know if Dosunmu's that way or not. I think Dosunmu's a good shooter, except that he shoots awful low, so he's got to create his opening.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Tim Dittman, for helping us behind the scenes. We'll do it again tomorrow. Hope your holiday week is going well. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time at the tone, 6 o'clock. Good night.